Well, I'd appreciate your prayers. I put my thought on the board. I want to talk a little bit about assuming. To take for granted without proof, to suppose as a fact. I imagine that the folks that got on the Titanic assumed that they'd make it back. I remember when I was a young boy, I went with a neighbor of mine. He was a farmer. He was burning some brush pile, and he lit a fire, and he assumed it went out. So he was pouring gasoline on it. He had a big jug, and he assumed that the fire was out, and he was wrong. And it blew up, and the can was on fire. But he assumed. It's really dangerous. It can be real dangerous to assume something that's not true. It's not necessarily, you can be right. You can assume and be right. It's not necessarily that you're wrong, but people do assume. When I was in grade school, a guy I knew assumed, he knew that gasoline was explosive, but he assumed kerosene wasn't. So he was pouring kerosene into his stove that had a fire in it. It had coals in it. And he was assuming that was okay. Well, it built gases, and then the gases lit and it blew up, and it singed his eyelashes, eyebrows, all the hair. He had no hair on it. I mean, it burned it all off because he assumed that was safe. We can go on assuming. People assume, they assume they'll have tomorrow. You're probably assuming that you'll have tomorrow. And you can be right. But there's going to be a lot of people that's going to assume that they have tomorrow. They're not going to have tomorrow. They're banking on the evidence that they have, what it looks like, and they don't have the assurance of that. There's no proof of it. There's no proof that you'll have tomorrow. It's an assumption. I'm just assuming that everything's going to be like it is. I'm assuming that my body's going to work just like it always has. I'm just assuming that. It's dangerous. It can be very dangerous to assume something. There was people that assumed that they had food, and they didn't. There was a people that assumed that they could keep themselves warm, and they froze to death. There's people that assumed that the weather was going to be mild. There's people that assumed that it was going to be pleasant, that there wasn't going to be a storm. There's people that assumed their life away. And I want to just kind of think about it a little bit this morning, the danger of assuming. I'd like to start first with a scripture in 2 Peter. The first chapter. I'll start with the first verse. Simon Peter, a servant, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And I want us to pinpoint on that a little bit. And besides this, giving all diligence. Diligence is effort. All diligence to look into. To give energy. To give all diligence. There's a lot of things in this life that we deem important that is mildly important. Alright? It's mildly important that dinner's good today. Okay? It's mildly important. It's not greatly important. If it's a flop today, it'll be okay. In the long run, we can put a lot of importance on it. We can stress on it. But it's mildly important. A lot of things in life is mildly important. There's some emphasis on it. But this is mildly important. This is very important. That we give our effort, our energy, and give all diligence to our spiritual life. It's not vaguely important. It's not mildly important. There's things that is mildly important about life that we put a lot of emphasis on. But today, the most important, to give all diligence to our eternal welfare, not the carnal welfare. I'm going to assume that I have time. You'll assume it. Most people assume that I'll have time to take care of my soul. I'll assume it. Remember the scripture in the Bible of the man, the rich man that had whose fields brought forth plenty? He assumed time. He'd always had it. He assumed that he would be able to put his plan into gear, be able to accomplish what he had in mind. He assumed all of those things. But there was no time left for him to accomplish the things that he had to do. So the scripture is saying, give all diligence and add to your faith virtue. You believe in God, there's got to be something. See, there's a pattern starting to evolve here. There's something that is in works here that the writer is saying this is of most importance to you. Add to your faith in God virtue. Virtue by definition means strength, but something that is virtuous is right, it's good, it's empowering. Add to your faith, you're gonna have to do it. You can't just wait for it to be done. There's a commercial that's advertising on the radio. It's advertising college, for somebody to go to college. So the alarm goes off and this young guy wakes up and there's somebody saying, hey, come on. Here is your invitation to college. And, well, I think he does it and then he wakes up. It was a dream. And what they're trying to prove is that you're not going to have somebody come to your room, come into your life and say, here is your, you can go to college. We got it all set up for you. What they're trying to tell this advertisement is that if you're going to go to college, you're going to have to make an effort to do it. You're going to have to go apply. You're going to have to go. It's not just waiting on you. Now, there's people that think that, I've got a job coming. I'm going to get a job. The door's going to open for me. And somebody's going to open the door and say, hey, I got a job for you. Well, that happens sometimes. But you know, most of the time, it don't happen that way. You got to prepare yourself. You got to do something. You got to make yourself, you got to give yourself some kind of a trade. You got to do something. You got to go to work. You got to ask. You got to go pursue something. The scripture is talking about that in that way. Besides this, give all diligence. All diligence. Make it a pursuit. I've got to add these things to my life. Add to your faith virtue. And to virtue knowledge. Do you know, it's very important. I know knowledge, one scripture says knowledge puffeth up. But you know, we work off of what we understand. We do. I mean, take life for instance. What you function in your normal day by things that you've learned. You know things. There's some skilled people in here, or some people that got a job. I know what Marty does. He works at the water plant up there. He's working off of knowledge. He's working off of things. When somebody says go somewhere and turn off, he knows where the valve's at, or add this, you gotta add so much to it, or take so much from it. There's some knowledge involved to it. If you're a carpenter, or if you're a machinist, or whatever you do, there's a certain amount of knowledge. Brother Manson was a truck driver. There was knowledge involved in that. He had knowledge I don't have. In order for him to do what he needed to do, he understood what gear to get in. He knew how to back it. He knew what he had to do. How to get the place. What lane to shift. And he had knowledge of driving. You know, that's very important. And so it is with our spiritual life. He's saying add to this. You want to do right. You want to understand. But you're going to have to know something. You're going to live life and learn something. Add to this knowledge. Be diligent. Be diligent to understand godly things. Be diligent to understand. We'll be honest with you. We've lost our older ones out of the congregation. You can't call Brother Jim and ask him on his knowledge anymore. We used to lean on Brother Sammons. Brother Sammons had college-educated people would call him to get his understanding, his knowledge of what God's wanting to do, how God's wanting to work. Add to your virtue knowledge. Be diligent to understand some things. Not only, don't let the trials of life go on by and not get knowledge out of them. I made it through that, never learned a thing. No, he's saying add to this. Be diligent to understand something because you're going to need to know that. You're going to need to know how to do that. Do you know, I was thinking, I think it was yesterday, I was thinking about, I used to work in surveying, and in my mind I was trying to go through the steps of setting up a transit. I haven't done it in so long. I'm thinking, could I set a transit up like I used to? I used to be fast at it. It was important. We got right at it. It was important. And then I started thinking about some of the other things that I used to be able to calculate these different things. And I'm sitting scratching my head saying, what was that calculation we used to do? What do I use sine or cosine for that? I was thinking of all these things. You know, I've not been diligent to keep up with it. It's been basically when I quit, I kind of quit. And it stuck with me for a while. And now I've not been diligent to keep up with, and I don't know how to do it. Add to your virtue knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And we could say something about all of these. We're going to go on. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if these things, be diligent. Be diligent, because if these things be in you, it makes you that you'll abound. It'll make you that you're not going to fail. If these things be in you, be diligent about these aspects. Be diligent about them. You got to put them there. They don't just fall out of the sky on you. You don't just end up with it and say, this is how I got to be this. But there is something about being diligent. We assume our way through life. Assuming. I've got time to add these things, or I'm assuming that the next trial, I'll make it through it okay. But do you know the Lord works by degrees, by getting us there? Lord, help us to be diligent All right, let's look at another scripture. Look at Hebrews 2nd chapter. In the 2nd chapter, in the 1st verse says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed. Alright? Earnest heed means to look at it. To focus your attention. To focus your attention on something. So let us focus our attention on the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. So we're going to give the more earnest heed to it. Take heed is mentioned in the Bible over and over. Take heed. Look earnestly at it. Take heed. That means to put your attention on it. If you don't put your attention on it, you're going to let it slip from you. Put your attention on your soul. Put your attention. Be earnest. Take an earnest heed for your soul. More earnest. Take heed to this. Take it. Beware is kind of the same thing in the negative, but take heed about this. Take heed about this. Take heed about this. Give this your attention. You can lose your soul. You can assume that you're okay and not be okay. Let me give you another scripture. In Mark, the 14th chapter. Oh, let's see. 66th verse. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there came one of the maids of the high priest, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, And thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth. Now, get the picture here. Jesus tells, or Peter tells Jesus, all of these might forsake you, but I will never forsake you. And Jesus said, before the cock crows twice, you'll deny me thrice. Three times. Not so, Lord. He argued with the Lord with this. He said, not so. I'm going to be there with you. So, get this scene. Jesus is in this situation of his trial and all. And Peter's really close looking on. And a young woman comes up and says, you're one of his disciples. I saw you with him. Now, here's the one that said, I will never deny the Lord. You sure about yourself? How sure about yourself are you? It's a legitimate question. How confident ought you to be in yourself? Peter had this idea about himself. Well, if you don't know who yourself, who does? I don't know you. You don't know me. If I don't know myself, who does? But I'm going to say today, don't assume that you do. It's a wrong place to assume that you know yourself. That you know what you can put up with. That you know how much pain you can tolerate. That you know how much personal attack you can take. That you can know how much before you snap. That you can know how much before you'll throw the hammer. Before you'll act. That you know how much you got. If you are, you're probably going to be assuming. And Peter assumed. He assumed that he had an accurate portrayal of himself. He assumed that he had what he needed to have. I'm not saying that we can't have victory. I'm saying that the way we perceive ourselves can be very wrong. We should never have the idea that I really know what I can do, but by the grace of God. If God, I lean upon the Lord for my help. I can do nothing without Christ that strengthens me. Peter didn't have that mind when he said those things at all. He had the mind is that I know what I can do within myself. I know how I will respond. I know how I feel. Do you know feelings fluctuate with life? You can say, I love them so much I'd never leave them. But you let tribulation come, or you let that one that you thought you loved so much act different than you thought that they acted. Well, I love them so much it wouldn't matter. When everything's going well, it's always that way. It's the way we feel about things. I have to assume that I know what I'll do in some such situations, but to allow that assumption to affect it it can be very negative. Those people on the Titanic listened and believed what they was told. I believe that they advertised the Titanic that it was the greatest luxury ship ever made, and that it was made in such a way that it could not be sunk. That's what they told. And the people that must have they must have been awfully secure writing that. They must have had ideas of a great, luxurious trip with everything they wanted, and it was going to be so nice to be on this cruise. They must have had it all, and they assumed that everything they told was true. But you know, God has a way of bringing down those kind of things. Peter, Lord, I never deny you. I'll stand up boldly for you. I know myself. But Peter within himself is like all humans. He changed with the circumstances. I think he believed that with all his heart when he told the Lord. I don't think he lied. I think he believed it. But when circumstances changed, you know what I'm talking about? Get the picture. Nice sunny day with all friends around you. And you're in your glory. Everything's great. You ever been there? No sweat. Lord, I go with you anywhere. You fed the 5,000. I saw you do it. Made food out of nothing. Made food out of a little bit of fish and fed 5,000. I saw you do it. You turned water to wine. I've seen you do miracle after miracle. I'm your man. I'm with you. The sun isn't shining now. It's not warm beating down on him. It's not the sensation of pleasure on him. It isn't the sensation of how well the Lord provided for things and all that. Now it's in the middle of a cold, dark night. And now the impulses of the enemy is beating. And the idea that I love you so much that I'll never deny you. Listen to what he said. This young maid comes up and points him out. Peter, hey, you're one of them that was with Jesus. It says, but he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. Well, in our modern language, he'd say, I don't even know what you're talking about. Who are you? I'm telling you, this is what's going on. I don't even know what you're talking about. Jesus who? What? What are you talking about? He's only acting like it. Can you believe? Here's the one that stood up so strong. He assumed himself. He assumed who he was. He assumed the power that he had. He assumed what he could do. He had faith to believe in the times that the sun was shining bright. But what about when it gets down to it? I didn't say, I want to be faithful, but Lord, you're going to have to help me to be faithful. Marty Clevenger ain't going to be faithful by himself. Lord, I need you to help me to be faithful because I can't be faithful by myself. I'm going to be a Peter. I'm going to go with the sunshine and with the rain. My feelings will go up and down. And then when he comes right down to it, he had his chance that now the Lord's going to give him an opportunity. He's going to stand up there and say, that's right. That's right. And I want everybody to know it. That's the Son of God, and I believe in him. And he could have preached the message, but that wasn't Peter. Right? Oh, no. Peter now. You're one of them. I don't even know what you're talking about. And he went out into the porch. Now you get the scene. It's so vivid in my mind. I don't even know what you're talking about. And he leaves. So there can't be no more questioning by her. He leaves. He goes out on the porch, and the cock crew. This one. I don't think it registers yet. And they made saw him again and began to say to them that stood by, Hey, this guy was with him. This guy here, hey, he's talking to Peter now. He's talking to the people that are around and said, hey, I saw this guy with, he's one of the disciples of this guy that's up there crucifying. Jesus of Nazareth is one of them right here. And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. Now, they're putting it to him now. We heard you deny that you was with him. But we got some proof here that you was, because your speech is betraying you. You know, it's hard for me to go anywhere and them not know my accent. Hey, this guy's from West Virginia. It's been that way all my life. Go somewhere. Hey, I know where that guy's from. Hey, betray. I ain't from West Virginia. No, yes, you are. You talk like them. This way, you talk like them. Listen to what this man that was so bold, that knew himself, and I'm only making a point here, because he was confident in himself. He was assured. He was so wrong. He assumed so much, and he was so wrong. He went so far. Watch how far he goes. But he began, this is Peter. Not just a simple denial. Peter could have kept his mouth shut. He didn't have to say anything. He, to the furthest extent, he could have stood up and said, yep, you're right, I'm one of these followers, and I'm going to follow him till I die. He could have been that bold. Or he could have just kept his mouth shut. He said, yeah, you're one of them. Walked off. But listen to what he got to. But he began to curse and to swear. He was so much fearful of those people. And to be found out that he was one of them, and to go through the same kind of a trial and to be crucified, and all of that was hanging over him, he was so moved by them, people that was around him, that he tried his utmost to convince him. You know what I'm talking about. We've all seen it if we haven't done it. We've all seen this extreme denial in the place of you have to assert yourself to prove it. He started cursing and swearing. You all were this, you know, and cursing and swearing. I know not this man of whom you speak. And he made it forceful so they would to try to convince them that he wasn't one of them. And the second time, the cock crew. He thought he knew himself. He thought he had everything that he needed to perform the tasks, the duties ahead. He thought he had himself that pegged. And he was also wrong. It says, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereupon, he wept. You see that picture? Have you ever thought yourself in a place and then failed? I mean, miserably. Miserably failed of what you thought, your whole intention. And not only that, Peter in his heart did not want to be this man. Peter in his heart wanted to be the man that he claimed he was. You understand? He wanted to be the one that told the Lord, I'll never deny you. That's who he really wanted to be. But the circumstances dictated something else to him, and he didn't have strong enough character not to be that. And he assumed that he was. And it was a detriment to him. Assuming can be a terrible thing in life. My boss used to get on to us a lot when we said, "Well, what is this?" And so, "Well, I assumed this was this." And boy, if you said the word assume, he would really get on you. You don't assume in this business. This business is made with a series of facts. This, you add it up. It's mathematic. It is an assumption. You can't assume this. You've got to know this. It isn't assumptions that work. Assumptions makes, the boss would say, the assumptions makes me have to pay money. The assumptions cost me money. The assumptions cost me things. You can't assume. It don't work. You know, you get by with it in this life, a lot of assuming. I assumed that I'd done a great job laying shingles on my cabin roof. It's leaked for 3 years. I assumed that the pitch was right. I assumed that the lay was right. I assumed that I didn't need no flashing in that valley. I assumed that I didn't need any. It didn't look like I needed any. And I assumed it, and it's cost me. It cost me in this life. Because I assumed that. You know, there's people that assume they have tomorrow. There's people that assume that they're right with God. There's people that assume that people, that they're handling people right. There's people assuming that things are... And it's not true. And it's dangerous. It's dangerous to think that I've got time in my life to be diligent. And I'm speaking from experience here. We want to be the man. We want to be the man that God wants us to be. Don't we? I mean, I think we all say, yes, I want to be that. And I'm going to be. That's what I want to be. I'm going to wait till somebody comes up and knocks on the door and gives me the job. I'm going to wait till somebody... And somehow God booms from heaven to make me that person. That ain't what he said. He said, take heed. Be diligent. Add these things to your life. Put these things to your life. I was really touched by Peter, because Peter was a assertive man. Peter was the one who was always forefront. He put it out there. But we'll tell you, Peter assumed that he knew Peter and he didn't know Peter. He assumed because he was with the Lord and in that presence of the Lord, it must have been special. And now he's standing away. Now he's standing by what he thought he was, and he wasn't the man he thought he was. I think Peter got to be this man, but I don't think he ever had this attitude again. I think the attitude that he held from that point after that, when he really got it, is by your grace, Lord. By your grace. I am what I am by the grace of God. I can't do it by myself. Listen, if anything I've learned about living for God, it is that I can't do it by myself. I need God in my life. I need God daily. I need God to help me. I need God to keep me from temptation. I need God to strengthen me. I need God, because without God, I'm going to be a miserable failure like Peter. Many, many people have assumed that I'm going to have a certain pattern of life and I'm going to be able to have the grace to die like the saints die. I'm going to live like the saints live. I'm going to die. And they didn't know themselves to assume that. Now we'll look at another scripture that ties in. You know what? I think it was the rest of... Peter, the scripture in Peter goes on. There's something there, I think. Back to 2 Peter. Didn't read all that. We'll go ahead and read it. For if these things be in you and abound, they make that you should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things,
is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, listen, give diligence. A very aggressive looking, pursuing, seeking with energy and effort. Give diligence to make your calling and your election sure. For if ye do these things, you'll never fall. And he's talking about the list of things that he already did. So make an assertive, give all diligence to do this. Not all diligence in the affairs of this carnal, natural life. There's a lot to do and we have to do them, but a natural life is all, that's all that it is. But give diligence to make sure, above everything else, make your calling and election sure. You know, we lost some things. We had several folks up the house the other night. And after everybody left, I wish we could have all got together and had prayer before they left like we used to. When I first started coming around the saints, I couldn't go to Brother Salmon's house and be there again and leave without having prayer first. There was a diligence about things. There was something that believed and made a difference in it. And after everybody left, I'm saying, oh, I wish I would have thought of that before everybody left. We should have had prayer together. We're all believers. We're all striving for the same things. We had a chance. We ought to just had prayer. I think it's a good thing. Not much diligence with that. You know, some of the older folks that I knew of generations going by that I met when I first come along the saints, some of the Brother Ralph Beasley's and some of the Brother Albert Eck and some of those, you know, they never got too busy to stop in the middle of the day. They didn't. Their testimony was, many of them's testimony was, is that they would look at their watch, take time, go into this bad prayer. Oh, give all diligence to do these things. Because life's going to flee away from you, and you're going to be like Peter and say, I have the heart for God, but I've never had the power for it. I want to be that man, but I've never become that man. I've never really accomplished because I never added these things to my life. And now the calling and the election of that means called to God. It has an idea to it, but what it means is you're called and you're accepted, and now you're a part of the elect. You're calling and your election. Make it sure. It says to me that it don't necessarily have to be sure. Sure means solid, steady. It's there, not movable. Make it sure. Ground it. Make sure that's what is the most important thing in my life. I'm going to take care of my soul. You know, at the end of the Lord calls me in the night, it won't be thou fool. It'll be thou good and faithful servant. You took care of it. You took care of it. Got it right. But I can assume that I'll get it started tomorrow. I'll assume that, yep, things are going to work a certain way in my life, and I'll take care of it. I'll assume that in the weeks to come, in the weeks ahead of me, I'm going to start setting a different pattern of things. I'm assuming I have that time to do it. Well, maybe I will. But I know enough about life to know this. Just because you don't have the time don't mean you do it. It's not going to be any easier or any different. And there's so much that has to do with what we want to do. Lord, help us today. I think one of the natural
Well, we don't have people running around with guns threatening us because of our Christianity. That's not really the danger of our time right here in the United States right now. The danger of our time is everything's so easy. It's so lethargic. It's so numb to everything. This is, I heard it so much. And that's one of the dangers that we have to press against. And just in closing, I'm reminded of a scripture in Revelations about some people that said, we're rich. We're rich. We're increased with goods. We are. I mean, honestly, we are. The poorest among us is better off than most people in the generations past. We've got plenty. Increased with goods, and they said, and have need of nothing. Do you know that was an assumption without fact? Those people that they was talking about there in Revelations, they said, we're rich and increased with good and have need of nothing. We don't have any need. We got it all. But the Lord comes by and said, you say that you're rich and you have need of nothing. You want to know what I say? You're wretched and poor and naked. Wretched. You're in a terrible shape. And all at the same time you assumed, I go to church. My life's being blessed, so God must be blessing me. I have all these things, and I'm in great shape. And the Lord says, you're blind, naked, wretched. And you can't even see it. You don't even see it or understand it. That's, by the very nature of it, was, and have need of nothing. Says there's no diligence in the pursuit of their souls. I don't think there is an experience with the Lord that we ever aren't needy. Because as soon as we get to the place that we feel like we're not needy, we're in trouble. It is always recognizing, don't ever assume that you don't have it. You're needy today. I'm telling you. You are needy today. You are very, very, very needy today. Don't ever assume that you're not needy. I'm very needy. I'm very needy today. Lord, help us to see ourselves and never assume. Lord, help me always to strive. Never assume, oh, I've got it now. No. Lord, help me to strive. Help me to be more diligent. I think the natural, just the elements of our day, I think the natural inclination of our day takes away our diligence. I think it saps us of the real drive. Lord, help us to have that drive. Help us, Lord, to push through it. Help our testimony services. Help us, not that, I ain't talking about being able to impromptu. I'm talking about having something burning in my heart. Having something that's real and right. Help me, Lord, to have a consideration that we're all together before we leave. Let's have prayer. Let's have a mind that when troubles come, we can get together and pray. Lord, help us to be alive. You pray for me.